Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. I'm your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Raquel Raleigh Wilson, who is the author of How to Make Love to Your Child. She's going to explain that. If you'd like to speak with her, give her a call at 347-324-3460. Again, 347-324-3460. Or you can post your question in the chat room, or you can go ahead and send that question via Twitter on #ApplesCapital. We do ask you to turn down your radio if you do call in so we won't get the echo effect. Ms. Raleigh, welcome to the program. Ms. Wilson, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. I'm happy to be here.
Great. I guess just to dive into this, tell us about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you come by writing this book?
Well, I'm from Michigan. I lived in Michigan all of my life.
Wow.
The book was inspired by the birth of my first child.
Mm-hmm.
I realized a love I had never felt before, and it was important to me that this child always felt that love. If I had to punish him, I wanted him to still feel the love, regardless of the interaction that we were having. And I decided that I wanted all children to feel that way, which inspired the book as well. And I discussed it with my husband and the title, and he was a bit amused, my first husband, who subsequently passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And he was supportive but amused by the title. And How to Make Love to Your Child, it means what it says but not what you think. I did want a title that was interesting, that
okay.
expressed the continuation of love in the parent-child relationship. Now, sex is something that begins, then ends. To me, to make something is a never-ending process. I looked up the definition, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read a few
sure.
of the first definitions. Make, to create, construct, form, shape. The second definition, to give a new form or use to. Third definition, to cause to become. The fourth definition, to cause to behave in a particular manner. And as parents, we are doing all of those things. We are creating a particular type of individual. And hopefully we are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, when you mention the title, first thing you say is not what you think. I said I haven't had a chance to even think about it. I was just when you mentioned the title, you just mentioned the title, and I said, I knew it was something more to that, and I didn't think of the latter half. What some people, maybe half the population, would think, and some of them wouldn't think. But yeah, my mind actually went and said, "Hey, okay, what is she trying to say in this message?" But
yeah.
But that's the funniest thing of. Really about it. Now, I think in here you said it was from your, when you wrote this book, it was inspired from your first marriage?
Yes, my first marriage, and unfortunately I was widowed at a young age.
Wow.
I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do like to point out that the book, the idea start as a collaboration. It was something that my husband wanted to be involved in. And we sat
mm-hmm.
down and we kicked around some ideas. And then when he actually passed, I finished it. It was a therapy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it
wow.
gave me something constructive to do to help get through that grief period.
Wow. And how many, just to, for the listening audience, how many children do you have?
I have four children.
Okay.
The oldest is a boy, Michael. Mm-hmm. He's 23. I have 15-year-old twin girls,
wow,
Kayla and Krista, beautiful girls. And I have a 5-year-old firecracker who runs the house, and her name is Carissa.
Carissa.
She's the
wow
boss of all of us.
Why is that? Is the youngest child, I have all of this liberty than versus the other, and the first one's always more structured, and the second one is the middle child.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But always
right,
that last one, that
I
last one in the family.
When you know it's the last, it's just so special, and I know I'm done. So I enjoy her, and everything she does is so cute and so wonderful. And she's not a bad child. She's a delight. Everyone mm-hmm in the house enjoys her until she tears up some of her sister's things, and then they get a little
oh
upset. And then she'll run and hide up under my skirt, and, of course, I protect her.
Well, how long this book has been out?
Well, I debuted the book. I was 26. 1993, it received quite a bit of press, both print and television. However, being a self-published author, I was unable to get a distributor. So I pulled back and I attempted to get a distributor. It never happened. Fast forward to now in Amazon. Amazon is such a blessing for self-published authors. I love Amazon. The book
wow
is available on Amazon in POD format as well as Kindle ebook format.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the website, if someone would prefer to have a classic, the original book, which is hand-signed and hand-numbered, they can order that directly from the website, How to Make Love to Your Child. It's a little more costlier than the others, but there's only 1,100 left, and they're 20 years old, and they're in great shape, and I think some people prefer collectors like myself. I would prefer a collector's edition as opposed to the mass-marketed version. So there are options available.
Wow. And how was it, was it really difficult to get with Amazon, or it was really easy? You submit it, they consider it, say, hey, yeah, we'll go ahead and distribute this. And then part two of that question, as you mentioned, as for the independent small business person like yourself, Amazon is really a blessing. It has opened the market, across the board, like the web, from publishing,
yeah,
from record company. You can do and be your own person without
absolutely
the influences of a large company. How did you get started and going to Amazon to try to get your book published?
Well, it was a very simple process. I had the book professionally converted for the Kindle version, the Mobi file. And that mm-hmm wasn't terribly costly. It was around $300 for the conversion, but I do advise a professional conversion. A lot of people complain that Amazon said, well, no, you have to do this, you have to do that, and they're back and forth. But usually those are the people who uploaded their mm-hmm own version or, are directly from their files to mm-hmm Amazon, and that doesn't always work, which is why I went with the professional, to have it professionally done. The process is very simple. Amazon is very quick. It says your book will be available and 3 to 5 days, it was available in 12 hours. I was thrilled.
Wow.
That was the POD. And when I uploaded the ebook, that was available in maybe a day and a half. They're very quick. You have a question, they respond. So it's a great opportunity for self-published authors. The
wow
only thing is you have to be prepared to self-market.
Okay. And how do you self-market yourself?
Well, you call people like yourself
mm-hmm
and explain what you have and the benefits to that particular company or to their listening, I'm sorry, that particular program, and also the benefits of what you have for their listening audience. And if they're interested and they feel it's beneficial, then they'll have you on. You can also contact newspapers, your local paper, to have articles written. I know there are book reviewers online as well. And one thing I recommend anyone can do, Google how to market a self-published book. And there are numerous ideas. And some work for others and some don't. So if you Google that, you can see, according to what your material is about, which direction is more suitable for you.
Okay, and that's a just Google and the information comes up.
Yes, Google how to market a self-published book, tips on marketing a self-published book, things like that.
Okay.
And there are several out there, and there are successful authors who have done certain things, and they will tell you what they've done. But like I said, it's all different, and you have to decide which method will work the best for you.
Okay. And when you start your process, when you call a newspaper and kind of explain your story, were they really receptive, or they said, well, let me read the book first, and then we go from there, or how that conversation happened?
For me in particular, because of the title of my book, is that why you're asking that?
Yeah, because of the title, and when a person just normally calls, I mean, sometimes we can get them, sometimes we can't.
Well, fortunately, because of the pre-press that I've had, initially when my book debuted in 1993, I did the parent-child marriage ceremony and used it as a launching pad to get attention for the book. And also it was a beautiful event of something I wanted to do anyway. And it's a ceremony that I created, and it's also in the book. So I invited the press, and they attended. There were interviews. There was television. So it ended up on the local news. The Detroit News covered it. And eventually it went over AP. So, and that's when I started getting calls from television shows, national television shows. And I know the articles were reprinted all over the country through AP, the AP wire service. So if you can figure out an event that would be of interest to launch your book or product, that would be great. You can get the press to come out, and hopefully it'll snowball from there.
Wow.
But PR, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and you have to be motivated. You really have, but having a computer is amazing. It's like right at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
So the information, the contact information of different shows and newspapers, you can find practically anyone you want.
When you did those interviews in the 90s, how was that? Having, I'm not sure you've been on some TV shows.
Yes.
How was that experience? I mean, I guess, did it go beyond your expectation? This television station is calling me, and they want me to do an interview. Was it like a surreal experience? And when you finally got there, and can you name some of the shows you've been on?
Yes.
And how was that experience?
Well, I did. The experience was great, first of all, because that was my intention. That's what I wanted, so I was very pleased with that aspect. I did like maybe 4 local live interviews on the news. Some were supportive and some were not. I did the Detroit Black Journal show. It was a nice, beautiful interview. It was a supportive interview. I went on the Montel Williams show, and it was a scary experience because I was made to feel like I had done something terribly wrong.
However, from the title?
The title and the marriage. Oh, people in the audience were screaming at me, and your son's going to grow up and be a serial killer and blow up buildings. And then some people in the audience were like, no, I think it's beautiful. It's something I would do with my child. However, it did get the word out about the book. Now, like I said before, I could not get a distributor. I know if I had a distributor, the book would have sold. Because it wasn't available, it didn't. I was able to get it into several local stores where it did very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if I had been able to launch a nationwide distribution, it would have been successful. Distributors are not interested in working with self-published authors, which again takes us to Amazon. Thank God for Amazon.
Wow. So when you did the interview, like, for example, the Montel Williams show, they called you up and they flew you down there, or they made some arrangements to get you down there, or?
Yes, they did. They took care of all of the flight expenses, the hotel, mm-hmm. and I was paid maybe $120, something like that. Not very much. And it was an overnight stay. They took care mm-hmm. of everything. Someone was waiting at the airport with a sign that had my name on it. We
wow.
were driven to the hotel and just kind of given an idea of what time they would pick us up for the show. And it went very smoothly. The angle that Montel came from was that it was a negative thing. However, he was married at the time. His wife was on set. And in between break, I heard her tell him, honey, I've been flipping through this book and it's beautiful. You should look at it. You should look at it and change your mind. And he's like, brushed her away like, I don't want to hear that right now. I have everything settled. I already know my approach.
Do you think it because the reason was that way because he was trying to get a controversial type of...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Then versus this saying, okay, here's the meat and potatoes of this book. So if we ask you what the meat and potatoes of the book, how will you give us that that cliff note, meat and potatoes of the book on how to do things?
Well, I believe that parents do not come from an angle of respect because as parents, we know that the children belong to us. And we function in ways toward our children that are very relaxed or sometimes very harsh, as if we don't have anyone to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel parents should pay more attention to how they talk to their children, how they interact with them, because you're building someone that hopefully you want to grow up to be a compassionate, very self-assured, successful person. And what I mean by successful is someone who knows their value as a human and is happily pursuing what it is that they want to do. So the book is basically very strong on being careful, treating our children with caution because of the love. You want to incorporate love into every interaction because love is everlasting and it creates better people. When we know we're loved, we feel wonderful. And I think it provokes the best in us as well.
Wow. You know, I remember during that same time in the early 90s, there a book of How to Black Parent. It was a wonderful workshop that came out during that time. And
I'm sorry,
it was
called, what was it called?
It was something about black parenting. It was a workshop. A lot of churches...
Mm-hmm.
Community centers were offering black parenting.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I saved the book, and if I find it, I send it to you as a source
Thank
of
you.
Reference. But I remember when I was teaching, I was 5 years out of teaching, and this was almost the same time your book came out, because I think I was finished school in 89, and I think around 93, 94 is when that whole series swept the nation about black parenting. Maybe your book had something to do with it. But it was this whole workshop on how to parent your child. And we came from the old school. We beat, not necessarily beat, literally, our child to protect them. But the concept was a little differently. We had to have more control of our child as black families and versus the other races because we're trying to protect them. In a sense that if you go back, you know, during the early part of the last century, if we didn't keep our child in line, we had someone else is going to put them in line and put them to the grave. So we were a little bit more harsher on our children because we had to instill, hey, you can't do that. You can't do this like this other child. You can't do this because Susie is another race and is able to do what she wants. We don't have it like that. I mean, one thing that goes wrong or go bad, I mean, you're at risk of going to jail or going to the grave.
Absolutely.
Is that coming clear?
Yes, and I've thought
about that. So we were harder
that.
On our children because we have to. And one teacher who says she's been teaching, one of my master teachers, teaching 42 years in the school district, and she said, hey, we, you know, and she was about almost 70 years old by then. She said, we had to. I had to do my children that way because I fear if I didn't, in Houston, you know, Cowtown, nothing, you know, but anyway, anywhere in society, especially the South,
you know,
this is not Canada.
Right.
This is not Europe. And if I give Johnny full control, someone is going to kill my child. And how can I love him that way?
I just feel like tears are coming to my eyes because my mother said the same thing. They grew up in such a different time. There was a lot of fear. You had to stay in line. You're absolutely right. And it was very scary. And I think that that method of raising actually inhibited so many blacks where it carried over into their lives. And those few who were able to follow their dreams, they had something extra. But many were confined because they were taught to just stay in your place. But another thing I want to add to that, I believe that there's a lot of harsh treatment toward black children from their parents that came from slavery. And that's the beatings or the whippings that were so popular. Thank God they're going out of style now. Something I would never do. And some, especially those in lower economic situations, the way they speak to their children. And I've always felt that that was a legacy left over from slavery. Whereas, you know, you're not as good as everyone else. And self-consciously, I think a lot of parents taught that message to their black children and treated them according to that message. Not all. But I've seen it. I've seen that attitude. But then again, I've seen it in white families as well, where the parents were not very loving or quick to punish and hit. So, but yeah, you absolutely hit the nail on the head with the fear. But now it's changed. And my son, we had this conversation the other day. He said, Mom, I don't feel like a minority. I am an American. I don't feel like there's anything that's denied me. I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I have power. And that made me feel great to hear him say that. But I also know that, thank God, we are living in times where he can be allowed to feel that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if you look at, you know, things start to really change in the 70s. And the 80s, and it's going to take some time, you know, maybe another 50 years or better, probably in 100 years, it's just going to be like a fate, you know, memory. But if you go back, you know, I think even within churches, community groups and even with some grandparents, they're kind of not as harsh anymore. They're calming down because
yes.
there's more opportunities available.
Yes.
You have some still in their head, you know, they backslide and say, oh, you know, then they catch themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they really have given their grandchild or even the recent parents giving their more children more flexibility and more freedom. And with the integrated communities, and we can move safely into different communities and that integration. But we also just have to keep in mind, you don't, you know, even though that we are African Americans, still be conscious that we don't have the same rights. And
absolutely.
Might be a few generations more. Yeah, you have your Barack Obamas,
mm-hmm.
but also you have your Trayvons as well,
yeah.
that you can walk
yeah.
on the street and something could happen. When you get stopped, something could happen.
Yeah.
So it's not there yet, but we've made a lot of progress in that.
Yeah.
And going back to, I think a couple of questions, your ideas of, I think we already mentioned, but the, you have a ceremony been performed with all your children. Has the ceremony been performed with all your children?
Well, I performed it initially with Michael.
Okay.
The twins, I never did it, and I asked myself why recently, and I think I was too busy taking care of twins. But I have the ceremony between my five-year-old and I, it has been performed, and she
mm-hmm.
enjoyed it very much. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it.
Sure, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, before I begin reading, I'd like you to understand that although it's called a marriage, it's not an exchange of vows. Only the parent is vowing. The child is the recipient. Okay. I do hold sacred the anatomy, which I have created now. At this moment and forever shall I cherish and adore you. I gave to you the gift of life, wrapped with a never-ending ribbon. For one end I shall hold and offer you the other, so that no matter how far you travel in mind or body, you will always find your way back to me if I am needed. For I promise to never let go of my end, but will patiently await your return if I am needed. Together we will endure the joys and pains of existence, the tears and laughter of life. Your beauty will make me exquisite. My love will render you glorious. A true marriage we will share, an allegiance of truth, honesty, devotion, and adoration. Comrades always, inspired by the purest love. And
wow.
That's it. Yes, it's beautiful. And it was a pleasure to not only create it, but to be able to actually participate. And consider that I took these vows over the years. I mean, my children and I are not perfect people, and there's been times I temporarily forgot that I took the vows, but then I remember.
Oh, gee, you probably have to lay hands or something. How do you punish your child?
You know, I don't like to hit. I prefer talking. I have spanked my children, but I believe in organized
mm-hmm.
spanking. I don't believe in smacking or spontaneous hitting. If you're in trouble, come on, let's go in the room. You lay across the bed. I'm going to whack your butt a few times. Never really hurts. However, they get the message. But I do prefer to talk. And I'll tell you, the very first time that I went after Michael with a belt, he was maybe 11. I can't remember what he did, but I was so upset and angry, probably something dangerous, or he needed to get whacked a few times, whatever it was. And I went in his room, I yelled at him, I whacked him, and I left the room. And I felt terrible because I had never, ever spanked him before. I went back to apologize. He was sitting on the bed smiling. He said, "Boy, Mom, I didn't know you had it in you. It's about time you toughened up." So I've never forgotten that. But with the girls, usually a threat is enough to straighten them up. Now, I did have unique punishments for them when they weren't getting along, because to me, it's very, very important that my children love each other and get along forever, as long as they're on this planet together. So for them to argue is very upsetting to me. And what I would do is make them hug for 15 minutes. Usually by the time the 15 minutes was up, they were best friends again. And as the twins got older, I had to do something a little more sophisticated because the hugging wasn't working. So when they would fight, because by then Michael was too old to fight with them, I'd make them rub my feet 40 minutes each foot, and that pretty much took care of that.
Wow. Do you think, I know children will test you to no end, because they, you know, in the sales environment, the best sellers are always the children. The child can get things out of parents that nobody else can get, because they know, they around them so much. They've been, you know, just really look at it. You have your parents, but you have your child. They know what to say at times to get you to do what they want.
And we know when that is happening as parents.
Sometimes you do, and yeah, most of the time you do, and sometimes they just catch you off guard because you're mentally, you're tired, you don't feel like doing it. Okay, go. You know,
that's
not
true.
Really thinking.
That's true, but I normally recognize that, and sometimes I'll allow it. If it's something I agree with, oh, sure, you can have that. But if it's something I'm adamant about, no. There's a certain look. I look him straight in the face and very firmly say, no, that's the end of it. Do not ask again. And that usually works. I mean, once that definite no is applied, you don't want to cross that line.
Do you think, in your opinion, corporal punishment has something to do with our children being more violent? Or you think it's really... that was the old adage until we got really these video games in the last 20 years and internet and violent TV. The conception in the past say, hey, we think corporal punishment should be taken out of the schools because you shouldn't hit your children because it makes them more violent. What is your opinion on that?
I agree. Back to the organized spankings, I think they're more acceptable. Some parents do hit their kids, smack them around, punch them, and in front of anybody, it doesn't matter. And I think that that creates a lot of resentment and anger and could definitely cause children to lash out at someone else because it's done to them. Which is why I said I support organized spankings. You know, I don't want to hit you or beat you out of anger. Okay, let's go in here. You lay across the bed, you get spanked. And that way it's not, you're not being spontaneously violent. You understand? It's an organized, expected occurrence.
Wow. You know, I remember starting to take these things out in the 80s. Do you think the Cosby Show in the 80s kind of changed the way of we doing things as we black parented? You know, they had their moments at times. You know, they try to push a forceful moment. And I don't think we only had maybe one time that, or maybe a couple during that whole series, that you finally see Dr. Huxtable get to the point that I'm just trying to recall one with his son that he had to have a one-to-one session with him. We don't know if he was laying hands on him, but it looked like a an intense type scene. Do you think that played a part in our culture in kind of turning the tide, that things are a little different, that we don't have to be this physical with our child?
Yes, and not only that, it gave us excellent role models to look at and want to be like. I absolutely loved The Cosby Show. I remember it came on Thursday nights, and I didn't plan anything but to be in front of the television. And it definitely had an influence on me, a very positive influence on my perspective on the black family. Absolutely. And there has been other shows as well, A Different World. It gave black youth an opportunity to see college life. Even those who were not going or never planned on going, it still opened up that dialogue or that idea. We don't know how many children ended up at college simply because of that show. So, yes, I was very influenced by The Cosby Show, and I believe they had a terrific, positive impact on the black community. And, yes, I believe the influence of treating your children in a different manner were there as well, in a loving manner to communicate. Yes, it had all those dynamics.
How will you advise parents to participate in the ceremony?
Well, there is some advice, some information on the website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tab that you can click on, and it'll just give you some general ideas about the ceremony. Basically, use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You can be extravagant with it. You can be simple with it. It's really what you want, how far or how big you want to make it as an individual. But I do hope it catches on and more people decide to do it with their child or children. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And you can leave a comment, anyone who's interested or anyone who's going to do it or has done it. They can leave a comment about it, and I will post it on the website. And also, their certificates are available for sale on the website as well. It's the ceremony itself on a separate card, and then the certificates that you sign to show that you did the ceremony. And they're really beautiful, and I think it's a nice keepsake, something to have and to treasure.
And how do you feel about the average parent that does not do or they should be doing?
The average parent who... I'm sorry, could you ask?
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to get an idea. Like, for example, what do you feel the average parent does not do and what they should do? And we talked about it earlier in one sense, but... in a sense of talking about what they should be doing, really.
Okay. I think the average parent does not respect their children. What I mean by respect is minding how they typically interact with them. So often as parents, we feel we can treat our children as we please because they belong to us, which is true. But they don't realize the importance of respect for any relationship to function at its highest level. I also think the average parent does not take into consideration that their children grow up, and when you look them in the eyes as adults, you're looking at your child as an adult, and you are an adult. What do you want to feel? Do you want to feel guilt about a lot of things that you did or the ways that you treated that adult when they were a child? Or do you want to feel good about the influence or the role that you played in your lives? And these things need to be thought of as well while they're little. We don't think about that, but they grow up, and I don't want them to grow up and say, oh, you were so terrible to me. And, you know, I mean, they're going to have something to say anyway, no matter how great you are. But you don't want it to be true.
Wow. I think the last couple of things real quick. What is your greatest moment as a mother? And what are you going to be doing next on your journey?
My greatest moment as a mother, I actually have four. And that was seeing the face of my baby for the first time, each baby. That was what I waited 9 months for.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had four great moments. And what I'd like to do next, I'm actually working on a How to Make Love to Your Children. I've been taking notes for a second book because the dynamics are different.
Mm-hmm.
I originally wrote How to Make Love to Your Child. I had one child. Now I have four, and I've learned a lot. And I feel that I've gained some insights that would be helpful as well that come with having more than one child. And the funny thing about that, my daughter, Carissa, the five-year-old, she's familiar with the book since I've reintroduced it. And she said, Mom, you know, when you wrote that book, How to Make Love to Your Child, you only had one kid. Now you have four, so you have to write How to Make Love to Your Kids. And I said, okay, honey, and I will do that. But I actually had already started to take notes for a second book. And I also write children's books. I really enjoy it. They're fun. It's a great way to relieve stress. So I have some characters that I've developed, and I'm very excited to eventually come out with some children's books. And
wow.
I believe children should read and just make books that they just love so much they want to read these books.
Wow. And what do you, if you had a closing statement that you want to leave us with, what would you like to close with?
Well, I'd like to say that initially when I wrote the book, we were kind of in a dark ages, especially as far as African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of progress. I'm out in public now. I hear, and it makes me smile. Before you go in public and you would hear, especially blacks, interacting with their kids a certain way, it kind of made you shrink and was not nice. And that's changed a lot, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for that. It makes me smile. So I think we've come along naturally, because actually that was one of the motivations for the book, the way that we interact with our children habitually. But that is changing, but we still have a long way to go. And I recommend for those who have changed and understand what I'm saying to buy the book, maybe for someone they know that still needs to make that change. Because there is advice that is very helpful. Some things that perhaps have not occurred to any parents but make perfectly good sense and do help to instill a sense of value and confidence in your child. And that's one of the main goals for the book. I want all children to feel loved, happy, confident, and just have a healthy attitude toward themselves and, most importantly, others.
Wow. Well, thank you for coming on to the program today. I really appreciate it. I mean, it's been a great 45 minutes, and I learned a lot today. And again, I'm going to look for that book this week since I have a little downtime. And
mm-hmm.
if I find it, I definitely will write you and send it on to you. And
wonderful.
It might be a good resource for you to have in the future as you write your third book when it comes back out.
Great. And also, before I forget, there's a website called The Man Can.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across it on Twitter. It was a wonderful website. It's about portraying black men positively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be great for your viewers to know about, to kind of take a look at it. A lot going on. He's really trying hard to get, you know, to change how black men are perceived, and I love that. So I just like to end with that as well.
Okay, and it's called The Man Can.
No, I'm sorry, theblackmancan.org.
No problem. I will reach out to him. And in
do
the meantime,
that. Do that.
Okay, in the meantime, give us your website address and how they can find your book, and if they had any questions of you, how can they contact you?
Okay, the website is howtomakeloveToYourChild.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google that, or you can Google Rochelle Riley Wilson, and it'll come up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the book is available in three formats. On the website only, you can purchase the original book, which is 20 years old, and hand-signed and hand-numbered. If you don't wish to do that, the book is available on Amazon. You can go connect to Amazon from my website or go directly to Amazon in both print-on-demand format and ebook format. If you'd like to leave a message for me, there's contact on the website, and anyone's more than welcome to put in their information and their question or comment, and I will be more than happy to respond.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on to the program.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Tim, and you have a wonderful day.
Great. Thank you. Have a great one.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. You can download this episode on Blog Talk Radio on the Apple Capital site for the Core Business Show. Also, I did put the link to Ms. Wilson's page there as well, so you can click on that and go to her website. You can download this episode on the iTunes, a podcast, a Podfeed, or blog at Apple Capital Group. Thank you for listening to the program, and have a great week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.